Hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5. The game on this Tuesday as the Titans get ready for joint practices with the Tampa Bay Bucks. We decided we'd talk a little Titans with our man Gentry Estes from the Tennessee, and he joins us now. Gentry, how you doing?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I've got a football movie for you.
Okay.
An underrated football movie that has not been mentioned yet. North Dallas 40.
We got a couple of texts on that one, and I just haven't brought it up yet. That is a good one, though.
That might be the most underrated sports regular movie of all time. That is a legendary movie because it actually showed, Gentry, you know this, the ugly side of professional football.
I call it a game. You call it a business. You call it a bit. Yeah, it was a great movie.
That is a very good one. So the Titans are getting ready. They'll have one more practice here, and then they'll do a joint practice on Thursday with Tampa, and then play the preseason game coming up on Saturday. As you have watched Cam Ward through these first few weeks of training camp, I think we can all agree that, you know, there's been some flashes, but he has looked very much like a rookie and has struggled at times. What is it you think he needs to work on the most in these joint practices in a preseason game against Tampa?
Yeah, and no question. He certainly has looked like a rookie. There's been some good moments, but I think it's decision-making. It's just kind of feeling comfortable with what he's seeing. I think it would be that way for pretty much anybody coming into the situation he's in right now where, you know, I think his head's probably swimming a little bit. I think the Titans have thrown a lot at him in terms of just the looks he's seeing defensively. I think that's been been a deliberate thing to try to, you know, allow him to see a lot of different things so he can try to get comfortable and honestly to know how to handle adversity a little bit. That said, it needs to start getting a little better. And I think the joint practices are going to be big for that. Just seeing another defense and being able to adjust on the fly to some of the things that he just quite honestly hasn't been able to yet.
Gentry Estes is with us. Do you feel like, and I asked Tim Hasselbeck this question earlier, but I want to get your opinion since you've been there every day. Do you think that Brian Callahan is going to be judged solely on the development of Cam Ward this year, or do wins and losses matter more to Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker?
I mean, I think Cam Ward's a big part of it. I think he'll be judged on, are they improving and are they able – is this a team that can stop beating itself? If you go back and look at that team last season, I know that the talent wasn't on par with some of the best teams in the AFC. I think we all know that. It's going to be the case again this year. But if you look at how the Titans lost, the way they lost last year, there were so many moments where they started to get something going and the right tackle has a false start or a hold or somebody doesn't line up right. They couldn't allow themselves to get any momentum, and that's a poorly coached team. There's just no other way to say that when you don't look like you're prepared to win, and you don't look like that you expect to win. And it seemed that got worse over the course of last season. And I think when you see a team that cannot get out of its own way, that's the surest sign to me that the coach would be in trouble. If that stops. If Cam Ward improves over the course of the season, if they feel better about things in week 15 maybe than they did in week 5, I think that'll speak a lot better for Brian Callahan than anything else. But they've got to stop beating themselves. They were just a poorly coached team last year. I mean, and it was the same thing. Special teams breakdown, stupid penalties, bad turnovers in key moments. These are things you can't do. And I know there's been a real focus on that this offseason, but we'll see.
Talking to Gentry Estes from the Tennessee on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Gentry, do me a favor. Go over to Mike Organ's desk and take a dump, if you don't mind.
Wow.
And just blame it on the custodial staff and get out of there. That's your assignment for today. No, Gentry, no, we love Mike Organ. Hey, sorry.
Jeez.
So, I love the article. I love the article you wrote after the day I asked Borgonzi and Brinker about, can this team win the Super Bowl? And your article was great because you're basically like, Titans fans, kind of prepare for the worst. And I thought, that's a great article to sum up just the road this football team's got, Gentry, to get back to some sort of relevancy. And it's it's a long road, an uphill road they got to go, you know, and we're not expecting them to win the Super Bowl. That's why I asked the question. But this team's got so many holes, man, and it's tough. You're out there seeing what's going on over there. What chance you got for this team, even winning, I think, six games would be Callahan's coach of the year?
I mean, yeah, I mean, there's something to that. The best chance they've got is for Cam Ward to turn into Jaden Daniels. I mean, that's the best chance they got, for him to put this team on his back, and he makes a difference. Because the quarterback, if he's good enough, can do that. But I feel as though, yeah, I mean, obviously, I the difference between the Titans this year and the Titans last year is I think they've accepted what you just said, Joe. I think they realize where they're at, and they're honest about it. They realize the challenges ahead, and they're not trying to tell fans what they want to hear. And I really felt like the previous regime was pretty bad about that. You know, we checked every box, things like that. You know, they were really bad about trying to speak excellence into existence that just wasn't going to happen. And I feel like there's a lot more pragmatic approach over there. They're realistic about where they're at right now, which is nice. I appreciate that. I think it's something, in order, you know, before you can fix a problem, you got to admit that you have one, right?
Right.
So I appreciate that approach from Brinker and Borgonzi. But that doesn't mean the season's going to be any easier to watch, guys.
Oh, you're exactly right. Gentry Estes with us from the Tennessee. And Gentry, what's the worst team you've ever covered?
Oh, that's a good one. Are we saying worst team? Those Titans last year were up there now.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I've spent most of my career in the SEC, guys. So maybe the worst season I think I've ever been a part of. I covered the first 3 years of Nick Saban at Alabama. I was a beat writer in Tuscaloosa. And that first year, everyone forgets, they lost to Louisiana Monroe.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a pretty ugly season. You guys have seen enough of Nick Saban to know that he probably wasn't in real good spirits losing the kind of games they lost that year. There were a lot of guys getting run off every week. It seemed like something else was going wrong. That was a pretty rough year. That one jumps out to me. But in terms of just bad, I don't know, last year's Titans were pretty bad.
They were, right.
They could run at them.
I'm kind of with Gentry. That might be the answer. Gentry Estes is with us from the Tennessean. A lot has been made about Jeffrey Simmons and the weight he's lost. And, you know, I know he's talked about chirping and everything in camp and some about that. But I have been impressed with him. He looks really good. Do you think he's poised to take that step forward that the Titans really need him to take?
Yeah, I think so. And again, I think we expect a lot of Jeffrey Simmons, guys, around here. We really do. We expected last year to him to be the big leader, the face of the team, the leader, and you know, he just wasn't that. But he is a heck of a football player. And if you go back and really watch last season, he's still a heck of a football player. He is by far the best player on this team. And I do, from everything I've seen, I'll echo in a lot of the other, you know, kind of reports from camp that he looks like he's in great shape. He's in the backfield every other play. You know, the chirping, the other stuff, it is what it is. But he's a very good football player, and he's a very good football player on a team that needs him. And I think he will be a difference maker for the Titans. Now, in terms of the double teams and all that, I know it's an excuse, right? And no one wants to hear that. And I get that.
Yeah.
But it's true. If you really go watch, it's true. And he needs somebody else. One thing I've noticed in camp, he talks a lot with Arden Key, and he seems to be demanding a lot of Arden Key. And I think it's because there's an understanding there that, you know, there are several key guys on that defensive front that are really, that if they really step up, it's really going to help Jeffrey Simmons. And I think Jeff is being more of a leader among that group than maybe he was previously for that reason.
If you had to make a vote, and obviously this can change, but for the strongest position group on the team right now, what would it be?
Running back with safety as a surprise inclusion.
Okay.
I still say running back because I think Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears are both legit NFL running backs, and they've got you know, the defensive front, if Devondre Sweat takes another step here in his second year, I mean, D tackle's pretty strong. But I've been kind of impressed with the safeties more so than I expected I would be. I think Xavier Woods was a good addition, and I think Kevin Winston could be a player.
Uh-huh.
He has stood out to me already, and you're talking about a guy who's coming off a knee and is still learning what he's doing out there, and he plays awfully fast for somebody with those kind of limitations. I've been really impressed with him so far. It's the kind of thing where the Titans are trying to look for ways to get Winston on the field. You're already seeing him kind of do it, moving him around a little bit. And it's nice to see the Titans in a situation where they've actually got a guy that they're having to look to try to get on the field because of the depth they have, as opposed to, man, we're going to throw this guy out there and hope he's been better, that he can be better than he's been, because that sure is the case with maybe some other guys.
Gentry, Chase and I love to play the hypothetical on this show because we're not really that talented, so we throw hypotheticals out there. We have ESPN on in the studio, and a moment ago they mentioned, they said, can you mention the Broncos and Super Bowl in the same breath, and they discussed the Broncos. What would it mean, Gentry, if opening game they go out there and beat Denver?
I'd be real surprised. They'd mean that.
Right.
I mean, I'll tell you, I spent some time this summer kind of going back through the Broncos, and that, I mean, they're legit, but they're legit in a way that could cause the Titans an awful lot of trouble. Defensive front, you know, you're talking about a rookie. They do a lot of things defensively. They bring a lot of pressures. It's going to confuse. It's the exact kind of thing Cam Ward is struggling with in practice right now. And then offensively, I think Bo Nix is everything that the Titans hoped Will Levis would be and wasn't.
That's a good point.
Who was able to make plays and be a composed, good, productive rookie quarterback without making a lot of mistakes. I think Sean Payton deserves a lot of credit for that. I think the Broncos have one of the best coaches in the league. So I'd be shocked, guys, if the Titans went out there and won that game. I mean, shocked.
Well,
I feel like this is not a good opener for them.
Well, we go back to when Ken Wisenhunt was here in 2014. They went on the road and beat Kansas, a pretty decent Kansas City team, pre-Mahomes, and beat them. And everybody was excited, and they proceeded to have a terrible year. 2015, they did the same thing. They beat Tampa and Jameis Winston. So, yeah, there's a lot. Yeah, what happens after that? But I just think if they go out there and beat Denver – we all do a 180 on this football team and that coaching staff at that moment, because we think the possible can happen, but who knows? I mean,
well, they probably should have won the game in Chicago to start last season. And think how this entire ride could have been different had the Titans win that game. Levis doesn't throw the little flip six, and they're able to win that one, maybe beat the Jets the next week's totally different year.
Yep, you're right.
That is a huge what if. I mean, it's very, very true. Gentry, are you going to Tampa?
Tampa, no. Atlanta, yes.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
You bet. Take care, guys.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessean and joining us here on the program. I think that is it. We like playing the what if game. I think that is a fantastic what if. What if the Titans beat Chicago last year?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Cam Ward's the quarterback.
The Bears didn't score off the touchdown, right? Because they ran a punt back.
No.
They had a pick six.
I don't think so. I mean, they played a terrible game.
They did.
And the Titans were just like, you know what? Here you go. We don't want this.
Did that flip six cost Will Levis tens of millions of dollars?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Gosh.
I think there's a lot. I mean, you think about it. Like, nobody wants to say, well, it's just one game. It probably tanked the season. It tanked Levis. I mean, everybody lost faith in Will Levis. Yep. Right there.
All right.
Including, I think Will Levis lost faith in Will Levis after that game. It probably got Rand Carthon fired in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they win that game, who knows what the rest of it looks like. But, like, they were chasing their tail the rest of the season.
Right. And the Jets, that first half, Aaron Rodgers was done.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be there. They just come off that game on Monday night.
Why'd you have to bring this up?
In San Francisco, they were done. They were tired. They were out of it. And then, you know, Levis just couldn't do it and had to roll the ball to Tajay Spears, and then things happen, and that went on. That is the immediate what if of what would happen had they won those two games. Because in third game, didn't Green Bay roll in here with Malik Willis? Wasn't that the third game of the year? I think it was.
Yep.
And then you're 0-3, and things from that moment on were never going to be
the same. Let's continue this. This is an interesting discussion. Of kind of looking back. Chase and Big Joe on this Tuesday. Appreciate Gentry Estes for joining us here on the program. We're presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5 The Game.
When the AJ Brown trade happened.
Yeah.
And there you see the video, you see you stand up.
No, I mean, listen, that is...
But also, two days before that, as long as I'm the head coach of this team, AJ Brown will be a wide receiver.
Well, I didn't want to, obviously, nobody wanted to have him walk out of there. You know what I mean? The contractual terms weren't going to, it didn't work out. And it's disappointing. The thing that I am most proud of is just still the relationship with AJ and players that I've coached, whether it be you guys or other players that, continue to text or check in on or just think about when they're in the summer or what they're doing or their families or you see that they're having kids. Like, I think that's important, and I'm glad that that's still something that happened.
As Mike Vrabel on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast that's out now, talking about the AJ trade, he also went into when he got fired from the Titans, which was interesting. But we're having the what if, and Tommy's what if was, what if Amy gave Vrabel full control? Imagine what the team could be. I don't think it would have worked out.
So I think it would have, because Vrabel would have installed his buddies in those roles to – he would have delegated and say, all right, at the end of the practice, who we got? He would have had a big hand in the guys that he wanted. I think it would have been great. I think you saw the alternative with Rand, which was a complete and utter disaster. I think it would have been fine. I think it would have, because Vrabel would have put his boys in there to say, all right, he wouldn't have put other guys in there. It would be guys that he trusted. Same way. Bill, I'm looking up the most successful head coach, GM in football history, Paul Brown, Bill Belichick, Vince Lombardi, and Bill Walsh, right? It says they all had their guys in those offices to make decisions for them, with them. I think Vrabel would have been fine.
I don't. I think Vrabel he needed to be a coach. There's certain guys, and I think we've gotten to know one of them pretty well. I think Jeff Fisher is probably in this category too, that they were better at just being the coach. I know they want to have a say, and we've had a good time talking to Jeff about this. Yes, they should have a say if they're going to be the one coaching the players. They should be involved in the process. But, like, I think Belichick was successful at it, to your point, because he had a Floyd Reese, a John Robinson, a Thomas Dimitroff, a Scott Pioli, these personnel guys that were right there with him, helping him through that process.
Exactly.
I don't know if I would have trusted Vrabel to put that right guy in there. You know who the right guy was for a long time? It was John Robinson. Those two worked well together.
Chase, they brought in 90 players in 2021.
Yeah. Who was the coach or who was the GM?
Yeah, I'm just saying Vrabel had a hand in that.
I'm not saying he didn't.
And they
I'm not saying
still
he didn't.
The number one team in the AFC.
But I'm saying they were better together than they were apart.
That's kind of like Sonny and Cherish.
That to me is what would have been. I don't think it would have worked. In 6638 says, what if Amy had given a coach who has proven that he can stubbornly keep his buddies on staff in spite of poor performance and nothing else full control? We'd probably be worse off than we are now. What does he know about being a GM? That's my point. Like, if he had the right personnel guy, which he did with Robinson, and he didn't with Carthon, there you go.
So in 2007, the Titans drafted a running back out of Arizona named Chris Henry. Mike Reinfeldt drafted him and looked good. I mean, built like a you-know-what. I mean, the guy was fast and big and didn't have a great career at Arizona, but he looked the part. So evidently the rumor is they drafted Chris Henry and brought him in here, and they knew, like, all right, this guy is not good. And a scout allegedly told Jeff Fisher, allegedly, hey, man, we drafted him. Now you coach him.
Yeah.
And they knew immediately he wasn't any good.
Right.
That's why all head coaches want to be a GM, because if they're going to go down in flames, they're going to go down in their own flames. And I think Vrabel would have done that.
There is a legendary coach that changed the game, but also kind of ruined some things for GMs. They want me to cook the dinner, but they won't let me buy the groceries. And that's Bill Parcells.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm like, the head coach should certainly, but again, I look at Floyd and Jeff Fisher, Floyd Reese and Jeff Fisher. They were better together than they were apart.
Yes. But why did they split?
Because one wanted control.
Yep.
I mean, it was.
It happens.
It happens. You know, there's an end date on everything. But the best, like everybody looks at John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan right now. Shanahan has the final say. But Lynch is a good talent evaluator. You know, he's been a good GM in that role. Mm-hmm. Just like Veach in Kansas City. Or is it Veach? Yeah. The Kansas City's GM and Andy Reid.
Yeah. Okay. I see.
But they've also done a lot of winning.
I mean, so Floyd helped. And Jeff had 12 seasons together from 95 to 06. It's a pretty good run for a coach GM. A lot of success. Got to the franchise to heights they'd never seen before, getting to the Super Bowl. So if you have that dynamic where the GM and the head coach are on the same kind of table together, it's great. Now, the Titans, you got Brinker, Borgonzi, Callahan. We still don't know who's in control, who's making personnel decisions. Hell, they've got 47 people in that front office over there. I'm not sure what goes on over there. Chase, you just should show up over there one day and start working.
Just sit down.
Like in office space. What's your name? I'm Chase. I'm a scout. Okay, Chase, here's your key card. We'll get you on the payroll. They probably don't know that goes on over there. But, no, I just think, and I understand what you say, but, I mean, Vrabel's a hands-on dude, man. And he'll just
that's fine. But I think, when John Robinson and John said in the interview with us, that, hey, I needed to do my job better, and I didn't do my job well enough. When he was – like in the early part, the first part, when Vrabel first got there, they were fantastic. And that was – you know, that's where it went wrong. Matthew Nashville says, if Vrabel had full control, the Titans would be like the Steelers are right now with Mike Tomlin running everything, relevant in contention, but never good enough to make a run in the playoffs, win the Super Bowl. Tomlin has final say on who gets drafted and who gets brought into the front office – and they've been mediocre for the last decade.
But he's also, I know he won a Super Bowl in 08. I get that. But they've been to the playoffs. They've been competitive. They just haven't done anything in the playoffs. I think a Titans fan would take that right now. Get us to the playoffs.
That's a great question.
Get us to the playoffs and see what can happen. Because right now they are nowhere near getting to the playoffs.
615-737-1025. Adam in Portland wants to weigh in. Hello, Adam. What's up?
Hey, a bigger what if is, what if they would have hung on to Malarkey? Because Vrabel, man, he didn't inherit a losing team, or he inherited a winner, and Malarkey inherited a loser and turned it into something. So that's the bigger one for me. You always go back to Vrabel. I'm always like, what if Malarkey would have still been here, man? That's my biggest.
That is a fantastic point. Thanks, Adam. Appreciate it.
Those players, I'm telling you, they loved Malarkey. In 2017, they loved Malarkey.
Yeah, look, and I think Malarkey was a key component in shifting the culture and getting the Wizen Hunt crap out of this place.
Yep, he was.
And you know, Vrabel added to it, but I think Malarkey started that. I just think they viewed that there was a ceiling with Malarkey, and they got to that point.
Wasn't his guy.
Wasn't my guy. Yeah. You're right.
Wasn't John Robinson's guy.
Yep. Clay wants to weigh in on the Titans. Hello, Clay. There it is. Go ahead, Clay.
You can talk.
Thank you, Dr. Crane. You're the man.
Okay, well, when he plays it, you start talking. That's your intro.
Okay. Anyway, Joe, you know, I've had a lot of names on the radio. You know, Donut, let's say on this show, Donut Man, you know, just Clay. How about Dynamite Man now?
Okay.
How about Absolutely Crazy Man?
what's your Titans point you want to make?
I was going to ask y'all about, what do y'all, I mean, and I'm not trying to be dumb here, but really, I didn't want Mike Vrabel fired.
Yeah, I didn't either.
You know, it's pretty much been a disaster since. So what do y'all think? I mean, from what I heard, you know, he wanted more control. Amy wouldn't give it to him. I mean, and that is that pretty much what happened?
I mean, he says no. I mean, he says on Bussin' with the Boys that that wasn't it. But I don't know. Probably.
But
I think,
you know,
it's usually, I mean, something like that.
Here's what I do know. Do y'all not think that Mike Vrabel is licking his chops waiting in here to kick the Tennessee Titans' butt?
Absolutely.
Oh, 100%.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the game. I mean, look, Clay, Mike Vrabel is no Fred Pancoast, right?
Correct.
I'm supposed to laugh at that. Thanks. But no, that's the game. That's the October 19th game where they come in here. I'm telling you, if the Titans are 1-5 and lose that game by blowout, Brian Callahan's gone. Amy's not going to put up with that.
No, isn't there bye week that after that game?
I think maybe a week after that.
Okay. Well, after bye, let's say they've won one or two games. Just my opinion. I say Callahan's out of here. That's just my opinion.
Could be right, buddy.
Thank you, Clay. Appreciate
Boys,
it.
Thank you for the dynamite.
Absolutely.
See you.
Always. Always enjoy Clay.
You know, he's promised us donuts, Dr. Crane, for weeks.
I don't want donuts in the afternoons. Now he's got to bring us like sandwiches or something.
How dare you?
He promised me like just an assortment of a dozen donuts, sprinkles, chocolate, all the above. Haven't got it.
You mean you won't eat donuts at 2:30 in the afternoon from Krispy Kreme?
I didn't say I wouldn't. I'm one of those people. We've talked about this before. I eat breakfast between, you know, 6 a.m. and 9. Okay. Like after that, I'm not
hungry.
I'm hungry, but I like at 9:30 or 10, I'm shifting more towards a lunch thing. That's okay. Just how and it's probably because I just don't love breakfast food as much. But like you people that like having breakfast for dinner, I you need to be studied.
Clay, that is a signal to bring us donuts later this week if you get a chance.
Hot, not cold, hot.
Yeah, hot donuts. We'll send you. I'll Venmo you some money again.
Thank you. You do that. 615-737-1025. It's an interesting discussion. We will wrap things up. We'll also see what DVD is going to get into as well. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is Boom Boss Pizza and Watch Bar. Now, we love some Boom Boss. Award-winning gourmet pizzas, handcrafted beverages, and get swept up in the thrill of live sports at Boom Boss Pizza and Watch Bar, your go-to spot for good times. Boom Boss has locations in Nashville, Spring Hill, and Murfreesboro. Get half off a $30 gift card now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. It's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
Think how this entire ride could have been different had the Titans win that game, Levis doesn't throw the little flip six, and they're able to win that one, maybe beat the Jets next week's totally different year.
Yep, you're right.
That is a huge what if. I mean, it's very, very true. That was Gentry Estes in our last segment from the Tennessean, and he's 100% right. So we love the what if game. What if that doesn't happen? What if they win that game? And you and I kind of discussed this a little bit during the break, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. And I looked at the schedule, and it was almost like it snowballed on itself that if they beat Chicago, they come in here with more confidence for the home opener against New York. You mentioned it. Rodgers didn't look great in that game. And ironically, they lost both games 24-17, so they lost both games by a touchdown. They probably play a lot better. I think they win that game, which they could have won even after the loss to Chicago. They're then 2-0. Green Bay comes in here with Malik Willis, and they played like crap against Malik Willis. They could have very well been 3-0 going into Miami on the Monday night game, which they ended up winning. So they could have been 4-0 at the bye. I know there's a lot of what if there, but it all kind of, to me, goes back to that first game. And if all of that happens, we're having a completely different conversation today.
How's Will Levis looking out there?
Yeah.
Looking good.
Cam Ward's not on this team.
Not at all.
Rand Carthon's probably still the GM.
And they're probably drafting mid-teens somewhere in there. I mean, who knows? But that's the thing about this. You can point to one moment. You could point to one, like Gentry just said, one moment kind of railroaded that season, and that was the flip, because it was talk about the maverick quarterback and the guy, he goes rogue and he's not going to do that. He wants the team to win, and he does that play, and you just know Callahan when that ball is in the air thinking, what in the hell is going on here?
Yeah. I mean, and then it just, you know, was it the next week or that Callahan just got in his grill and was like, what the F are you doing?
Was that the Colts game?
That may have been the Colts game. I don't remember.
He couldn't see the guy, and 65,000 people saw the Colts guy right there.
He flipped it. I mean, and I gained respect for Callahan when he did that, of looking at the quarterback like, what in the bleep are you doing? Like, how do you not see that? And that was kind of the moment for me where I'm like, oh, this guy just doesn't – I mean, he just doesn't have it.
Yeah.
It's something in between the ears.
You know what's funny is that there are moments, certain moments about this franchise which set off a different trajectory. When Ray Lewis took the ball from Eddie George in the playoff –
Took his soul.
And the Titans didn't recover, and they were done. If Drew Bennett catches that pass in the playoff game up in Foxborough as the Titans are going down to score to win the game, Tom Brady's not getting those Super Bowls. He's not. That Super Bowl, his second Super Bowl doesn't have, and I know it's the what if, but he doesn't get it. That doesn't happen with that's going on. If the Bengals guy, the kicker, misses the field goal in 21 in the game here, and they go to overtime, and the Titans win that game.
Well, that one's if Tannehill doesn't throw three interceptions, they win that game.
I get it, but
the D-line had 9 sacks.
There's a moment. The guy makes a really difficult field goal, converts on it, misses, the Titans win that game. Kansas City comes here, and they're winning. They go to the Super Bowl to play a team they beat in the regular season. So there's certain moments you look at this franchise like, oh, man, that's what kills you the most. And then you go back to Will Levis last year, like, that one moment.
I got one for you. Super Bowl. Everybody's going, well, you know, if he gets in, like, they win the game and all that stuff. What if Blaine Bishop doesn't get knocked out?
It's a good one.
That took one of your key pieces off defense.
It's a good one.
I've always kind of thought about that. Of what if Blaine, because he got knocked out.
Yeah.
Like, what if Blaine doesn't leave that game?
Because you put in Anthony Dorsett, who is not
Blaine Bishop.
What if Javon Kearse has another half second?
Yeah.
To get to Kurt Warner.
Right. There's a lot of. But, and you can do this with any team. It's not just the Titans.
Correct.
But you can pinpoint moments where it all changed, you know, obviously, and we talked about it earlier, and Mike Vrabel went on Bussing with the Boys, you know, what if they don't trade AJ Brown? I mean, we don't know. We think we know. We think that this team would have continued, you know, their upward climb, and, you know, they're coming off a number one seed and all that they would have kept going.
Yeah, I mean, they were number one in the AFC South after that trade in 22. After losing that opener to the Giants, which was awful, they still had a lot of momentum that was going on, and AJ would have helped that football team immensely. So you could see where some of these things happen where, all right, why are they 3-14?
But, like, Tannehill still could hurt his ankle. Like, that stuff still, like, you know, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, you may have had A.J. Brown, but does Tannehill still hurt his ankle? Or does Tannehill not make that play because he has A.J. Brown? I mean, again, it's a
– Who was the backup in 22? Why can't I not remember the backup quarterback was?
Well, because they had to sign – because he got hurt too.
They signed Dobbs toward the end of the season. But who was –
Yeah, but they went through a few.
I cannot remember the backup quarterback was in 22. Why can I not remember this? Dr. Crane?
It was Malik Willis.
Oh, my gosh.
And he was terrible.
He was terrible.
That's what it was. Yep. And then they signed Dobbs. Yeah. Because they drafted Willis.
Yep.
That's another one. That. What if they don't draft Malik Willis?
Who do you get? What happens?
I don't know, but we should have asked J-Rob about that.
Third or fourth round, yeah.
Like what if, you know, like, what did you see – You know, because remember, Tannehill comes in here pissy, like, I'm not here to mentor him.
Yep.
That was J-Rob, right?
Yeah. It was. Yeah. What did Floyd always tell you about quarterbacks in the draft?
If he could have gotten away with it, he would have taken one every year.
Every year.
Woodside was gone. Somebody said Woodside. He was gone. It was Willis.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, yeah. And Woodside got picked up by the Bengals or something, the Giants, like, or somewhere up there that went on. That's just crazy. I can't remember that.
Tommy has one. And we'll let's take this through the break, because this is a good one. But I'm going to let you hear it first. I have a good what if. What if Amy gave Vrabel full control? Imagine what this team could be. We'll discuss that. Coming up next, you can weigh in, 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Hey, this isn't just a concert. It's a cause. Trinetics Rock the Cradle helps give fragile newborns a stronger start and keeps moms close when it matters most. With Tim McGraw live on stage and your support behind every beat, Ascension St. Thomas is turning music into healing. Tickets are on sale now at rockthecradlenashville.org. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, wrapping things up on this Tuesday from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Hey, coming up tonight at First Horizon Park, Nashville Sounds are back, taking on the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. First pitch at 6:35. Jeff Helm will have pregame for you at 6:20 over on 94.9 The Fan. You can also listen on the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure.
That is the greatest oxymoron in sports, the Jumbo Shrimp.
Why? Are shrimp all jumbo?
Chaser.
I don't know. Like, tell me.
Shrimp are tiny. Shrimp. Jumbo shrimp.
Gotcha.
By the way, we have TVs on the studio. We need to host a lifestyle show one day on Channel 2. You, me, and Dr. Crane. And here's the deal. You and me in the middle, and Dr. Crane in the middle. But he just sits there, and we dress you up like Buster Brown. And you don't and you don't say anything the entire time. You just kind of nod your head and laugh at us. And that's it. And people will turn on like, what in the hell am I watching? Because we watch train wrecks. Right? Do we not watch train wrecks?
Dr. Crane, like, I've always envisioned, like, if we were doing a show kind of like David Letterman, like, Dr. Crane would be perfect for the man on the street stuff. Like, and like, we give him an earpiece, like Dave used to do with the Hello Deli with Rupert G.
Yes.
Very nice guy. I've had a sandwich at the Hello Deli. It was very good.
Did you talk to him?
I did. I got the shirt and everything. Yeah, he was cool. But like, we tell you what to say.
Like, we got a few swamp puppies down here on the First Avenue, and that's all I got.
Yeah, we just like ask him. Well, there's not much on First
Avenue, Second Ave. Yeah, I mean,
and there's stuff on Second Ave.
Yeah,
sure.
We could definitely
do that.
We could have some fun with that.
Yep. And then like one of the segments where we're interviewing, you know, some local chef, like have you on Chase's back, and just sit there the whole time, and we don't say anything about you. We don't acknowledge you at all. You're just there.
Like Ratatouille, where he's like pulling his hair and stuff?
No, you're just on his back, like Mr. Jeep or Peepers, whatever. Yeah, that's it. And we do it on Channel 2 because that's their lifestyle show, and then we just have fun on there. I think it would be a ratings killer. And both ways, it would be cancel the show and people would watch. I think it'd be great.
Here's a question from Ron on our text line. Let's say Cam has a pretty decent season, winning 6 to 7 games, but the offensive line is horrific. Do you think Brian fires Bill, or do they both get fired by Amy? If they win six, well, here's my thing. If they win 6 or 7 games, the offensive line can't be horrible. Because if they are, then they're not winning 6 or 7 games.
Well, if they're 4-11 and really, really bad, and win the last two against playoff teams who've benched everybody.
Yeah, then
it's like there's got to be a rhyme or reason.
But I think it all goes back to is Cam showing signs of growth? And as Gentry pointed out, is the team showing signs of growth?
Yep.
If the answer to that question is yes, or both of those questions is yes, Brian Callahan is the coach going into 2026.
I agree. And I'm telling you, man, the eyeballs on that football team that Sunday afternoon in Denver, because it's a 3:15 game here in Nashville, it might be one of the highest-rated Titans games of all time on TV, because we're all curious to see what happens. Everybody is. And look, both teams play, right? So one team's got to win. If they win that game, I know the odds are going to be – they'll probably be a double-digit underdog. I get all that. But when that ball snaps – you ain't thinking about being a double-digit underdog. and Derek will testify to that as well. You just want to win the game, man. So we'll see what happens. Don't look too much into what happens Saturday against Tampa and all that. I'm curious to see how the joint practices go with Cam.
Joint practice.
Practice, yeah, because they're coming after him hot and hard. So a lot of fun, but they got one more practice before they hop the plane down to Tampa, and that's tomorrow.
And I'm right. Am I right in saying, like, they're not coming back here? They're just going straight to Atlanta?
That is correct.
See, I'm curious of that. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because you treat it like it's like a road trip in hockey, like, or baseball or whatever. You know, you have time away. You're away from your duties at home. All you have to do is focus on your teammates in football.
Yeah. Give them Sunday off. Let them go to the beach, whatever, just hang out and have a few meetings here and there, and then go up to Atlanta where they have two joint practices and that game on a Friday night a week and a half from now. So, I mean, it's camp's moving along like it should.
Yeah. You know, a question I want to get into. I'm off for the rest of the week, so you guys have fun. I'll leave you to it. But
good luck.
But a question that I have is you they're at NFL Network's at Panthers camp right now, and you're like, nobody cares about the Panthers.
Nobody.
Nobody cares about really the Titans.
Nobody.
Us. The Jags. I mean, you know, all that stuff. What teams should people care about? Like year in and year out, what teams should people care about?
I'm more and more curious about the Minnesota Vikings because they've never won a Super Bowl.
Well, I think I'm going to see them on Saturday.
See, it all ties in together.
So the Vikings and Texans are playing a preseason game Saturday. I think we're going to go.
You should.
So I'll give a report.
Yeah, call in Saturday afternoon. So about the Vikings, Darnold gone and J.J. McCarthy playing now. They got a lot of playmakers. They got some really good skill players on that team. That's a great football team. I'm just curious why they never get more than one game in the playoffs. They don't.
Yeah.
They're not good in the postseason. I'm always curious about that. And I do think the first coach fired this year in the NFL, Mike McDaniel in Miami. I think he's the one. I think it's worn out. We were on the bandwagon 2 years ago because he was fun and exciting, and he wore knickers, and he wore high heels or whatever the hell he wore on the sidelines. We were tired.
I don't know about that.
We were like, this is great. I think the message.
Well, because he's a nerd that was a football coach.
Yeah, I think the message has gone really deaf on a lot of people.
That's
I think he's
a good
gone.
One. We he's may gone. Have to do that going into the season, like first coach to get fired. I mean, a lot of people might say Brian Callahan. Yeah.
It's about John Madden for you.
Sound like a dog barking, but whatever. That is going to do it for us today.
Yeah, as we always leave the show and listen, our message is always on this mental health mission for our guys out there. If you're struggling, we got a place you can go now to talk to somebody safely, securely, anonymously, where you can get the help you need, and it works. Just go to thegamenashville.com, click on the Chase and Big Joe Show, drop down. You'll see a link for Unity Psychiatric Care. It's right there. Go there. If you need to talk to somebody, please go there. Fill out a form. They'll get in touch with you. I'm telling you, talking to somebody saved my life. It can do the same for you. I will tell you every day that you are beautiful and our world is a better place because you are here. And now I got a place you can go to get help because help is just around the corner. We love you. More importantly, more than anything else in the world, God loves you.
Peace, love, rock and roll. A slimmed down Jeffrey Simmons feels rejuvenated. How much does DVD believe that? They'll talk about it next here on 102.5 The Game.